This is a recording of the prologue of Surfacing. I'm not a professional reader, but I am the author, read by A.L. Knorr. Enjoy. When my mother died, I ran to the ocean like a coward. Its cradle of salt puckered my memories and withered my sorrow like a grape drying in the sun. I had cheated grief and was foolish enough to think I'd gotten away with it. When Nathan died, I couldn't run away. No matter how much I flinched, bending toward the Atlantic in the way ivy strains for rays of light, I could not leave. Grief was back to take what belonged to it for the time it was allotted. My heart. I had everything I wanted a few short years ago. My mate, my daughter, a home, a family. It made my head spin to think how much could change so suddenly. I mused, wondering later if I was the only mermaid to ever walk fully through the five stages of grief. But I had my daughter. Targa had yet to turn. The color and shape of her fins were yet to be revealed. But she would. I had been so sure of it then. Siren genes are passed from mother to daughter without fail. Young legs melded into a shimmering virgin tail in response to a salty sea. But Targa didn't turn in response to ocean water. Not the first time, not any time after that. Something was wrong. I shoved my fear down deep into some dark corner where Targa would not see it, and said with a smile that we just have to keep trying. I had turned at the age of 3, but if there could be late bloomers in the human race, why not ours too? Her 5th birthday came and went. Still, she hadn't turned. Concern sent its barbs into me like a thistle. Then it rooted and grew. Nathan could feel something change in his family, like the shifting of the seasons from pretty autumn to chilly winter. He found Targa crying in her sleep late one night. "What's wrong, baby?" he crooned, rolling her into his arms and kissing her wet cheeks. "I have no tail," she sniffled, then hiccuped without opening her eyes. My heart had nearly stopped. It was the only time she'd ever slipped up, and for just a fraction of a moment, I wanted her, really, to spill it. I wanted him to know, but my mother's commandments ran deep and strong, her doctrines filling my very bones. Nathan could never know. I would never weaken our love by using my voice on him, even after Targa was born, and sharing my secret with him while it might ease my suffering could put him in danger in ways I couldn't even imagine. I'll never forget his look of confusion at Targa's sleep talk. He glanced at me over her head, expression a hybrid between amusement and dismay. Targa and I had late-night secret swims in the Atlantic whenever we could get them in without arousing suspicion, but what had once been fun was now polluted with expectation and suspense. Coaching sessions, my idea, where I attempted human psychology exercises I'd found in outdated textbooks at the library, guided visualization, breathing techniques, and even a failed go at hypnosis. The memory of her skinny little frame shivering in a bathtub containing more salt than water, Targa's idea, is still enough to fill my eyes with moisture. I don't know exactly when she lost hope, but she hid it expertly and patiently participated however I asked. I ignored the creeping thoughts that whispered in my mind. She didn't even like water, didn't really want to go for a swim, couldn't hear the ocean calling her. I would shove these thoughts away violently, excusing them as nothing but my own anxiety. It was ridiculous, a daughter of a mermaid who disliked the ocean. Impossible. When I muzzled those fears, I became aware of others of a different kind. Not my own, but hers for me. She could see the want in my eyes. Whatever mechanism bees and dogs used to smell fear, Targa had it for despair. She could sense it on me, reeking like cheap perfume. Her eyes dipped in desperation, her obvious desire not to disappoint me sliced through me like a white-hot blade from heart to gut. She thought she was my tormentor. The realization struck like a hammer and shattered me while giving me the strength to do what was needed. Let go. The ocean could call. I'd let the smell of it crucify me, sound of its waves crash against me, echo through me, call me, beg me. Targa's need and my love for her was greater. If she never turned and I was locked in a land cycle for the rest of our lives, so be it. So be it.